Let's play some trivia. Chris, what cigar manufacturer was founded in 1895 and has roots in Cleveland, Ohio?
J.C. Newman.
That is correct. Second question.
Yeah.
Which cigar manufacturer still produces cigars in their 112-year-old factory in Tampa, Florida?
J.C. Newman.
Correct again.
Yep.
All right, last one.
Okay.
Can you go 3 for 3?
Probably.
Who are the creators of the Diamond Crown, Brick House, and the American Cigar?
J.C. Newman.
That is right. Gosh, you know what? They say you look dumb, but you're pretty smart.
Trivia is my thing.
I like it. To explore everything J.C. Newman has to offer and a chance to win a free Diamond Crown whiskey set, visit jcnewman.com/hot ticket. The whiskey set includes 2 Diamond Crown Whiskey Rocks glasses, whiskey rocks, and a set of tongs. All the hardware you need for a perfect drink. Again, enter a chance to win by visiting jcnewman.com/hot ticket. All right, here we go. Episode 248.
Yeah. You know, in my head, because of your work schedule, like my head was like, we were at 248 last week.
Yeah, we're 247.
We're 247.
We were 247 last week. It's 248 this week. Yeah.
I went as far to change the numbers on all the graphics. 248.
I get them mixed up too. Like, if you notice, I'll post.
Yeah.
Like episode 245 and it's like episode 244 or what, or 246. And I'm just like, God damn it. It's hard to keep track. Dude, once you get into the hundreds, pretty hard to keep track of.
Well,
being honest.
Yeah, you just don't care.
It's kind of
you know, you're 240 something. It's like, what's another one? You don't keep track anymore. It's like, you know, when you're dating someone, you know that it's like anniversary, first anniversary, second anniversary, 30.
And you get older.
When you get to the 60th.
Yeah.
Well, you're usually probably dead by then, but like,
or you're just old as shit and you don't remember anything.
You just don't remember or care. It's like, yeah. It's like, whatever.
Also, typically, like when it comes to serious anniversaries, it's only important to one person.
The female.
That's it. It's never important to the other person. And no matter how much you say, I cherish every day with you.
Yeah.
You could say that and it's still not going to matter. You could literally give a heartwarming, heartfelt response to that, a great retort, and saying, listen, I don't think about anniversaries because I cherish every single day I spend with you.
It's good.
And still you're fucked.
That's good.
It is good, but you're still fucked. Doesn't matter. You're fucked.
It's like, I don't love you or appreciate you any less on those other days.
That's true. Great retort. Still, you're fucked. You're in the doghouse.
But it's our anniversary, Chris. Yeah. This is our 5th one, and you didn't even get nothing. You're not even a teddy bear or nothing.
Yeah, I like how, too, there's like the rules as far as what you give for anniversary gifts, like there's leather, like a diamonds. Standard.
Yeah, it goes up.
And I go, no one, I don't follow that shit. No. I'm never going to follow that shit. Yeah. Dude, I'd rather just like, hey, here's $500. Go do whatever the fuck you want.
You should just be glad I still want to have sex with you.
I'm Amen. Joking.
It's more than that, people. It's more than that. That's a joke. Kind of.
Marginally. I wanted to say thank you because I told you earlier, there's people who reached out just on social media or whatever and said, you know, sorry for you guys' loss, whatever. Our buddy Tim, hockey. We spent a lot of time talking about it last week. To me, it was very cathartic. It was like, needed to get off my chest type of thing. And I really haven't said much about it since. But I appreciate everyone being like, dude, sorry for your loss. It's like, it's nice when people hear that because it's weird because it's someone you play hockey with. So like the level of importance doesn't seem.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like it's like, hey, this person's like a high priority. It's like someone you play hockey with. But like the meaning around the relationship that was built and the community and all that, it is very important. So it's nice that people kind of stop and said, hey, that's really you know, sorry for your loss and hope you guys are doing good and all that, which is very sweet.
Can I just point out the fuckery, though, about our experience?
Sure. I don't know what that means, but listen, you can point out anything you want. This is a podcast. We can say whatever we want.
We went to a viewing. Can you tell me what we actually viewed?
We didn't view anything. There was no dead body.
There was nobody.
Which for me was
awesome.
So
what are we viewing?
Yeah, each other. our exclusive, our individual existences. Now,
it was really cool to see Tim in all of his young photos because looks like exactly the same, just without gray hair.
Yeah, black hair. Yeah, literally no change at all. That's it. Like, he was 7 years old, looked like the same person.
Looked like the same Tim.
Yeah, his hockey shit was up, which was dope as fuck. His family came up to us, obviously. I think you and I, more than anybody else, because of the long hair, they recognized, like, you must have been the hockey friends. Yeah. And we're like, yeah, that's us. And they were talking about, oh, he loved you guys, and the hockey community is so amazing, and he just cherished all his time, which is, like, really heartwarming. It was great. The one dude, definitely his brother. Looked identical.
Talks like him.
Looked more like Frankenstein.
Yeah, talked like him, too.
Talked like him, too, and I was like, it's definitely Tim's brother. So that was cool to hear that. All the pictures was really cool. No dead body, which was great for me. It sounds like Tim got cremated ahead of time, which is great. I'm not saying him getting cremated is great. What I'm saying is good for me. Selfishly, I did not want to look at a body. I feel
like they should specify, like, if it's a viewing, you're there to view the body.
Yeah. If it's not a viewing, what do you call it?
Reminiscing? Like, what do we call it?
A remembrance ceremony?
Like reminiscing, remembering?
A remembrance ceremony.
A remembrance.
Yeah, I think that's more appropriate.
That's better.
Yeah.
But they should say it on the sign.
I was, you know, part of me was, when we walked in, I was like, "When are we early? When are they going to wheel in the body?" That was the first thing with my head. I was like, where's the body at?
Nowhere.
Like, is it going to come through the floor? Is it going to ascend from the ceiling?
Like, I thought there was a buffet line.
Yeah.
All the way up to front where Tim would be.
And
there
nothing.
Was a line, but there was no,
but there was no one there.
There was no one there.
Yeah. There was nothing to view.
No.
Yeah. Which is great. But yeah, it was, dude, sad day.
Yeah, it was.
But also great day.
It was a great day.
Great day. Like, we went, so we went to, dude, that place we went to, Bishop's Corner, whatever it is. It's like this really cool part of town that I love going to more for outdoor stuff. Like, I ride my bike there, I bought my kayak there. It's a really cool place. It's a town called Loveland. And it's like a quaint, cool little downtown area.
It's fucking awesome.
Like, great restaurants downtown. It's like a new up and coming, like, more outdoors city for, like, people to go to. It's very small, but it's really cool. So the place on the corner is like three floors. Mm-hmm. They have bars on every floor. They had literally the best bourbon selection I've seen in an insane amount of time. Other than Century Bar downtown Dayton, that was like the best bourbon and it was not expensive. I was so thrilled. I'm actually going to go there. I'm going to try to get up there tomorrow, ride my bike, and then I'll stop and get dinner there. We occupied the top floor. It was hot as balls. Mm-hmm. We were all wearing our jerseys. We wore our jerseys afterwards. We ended up occupying the whole top floor and proceeded to drink and eat and had a really good time with everybody. And then a good friend of ours that we play hockey with was like, all right, everybody, we're going back to my place, which is great for me because it's on my way home. Yeah. It's on my way back to my house. Yeah. So that worked out really well. I was like, oh, sweet, chaos fucking places.
That was a good.
On my way. And we hung out at his place for a while.
Yeah.
And I had to sober up, which I did. Sobered up enough to drive home. Felt good when I drove home. Then I got home and then there was no one. There was no one. I was by myself.
It's like death.
So I got a little depressed. I mean, I had the dogs.
It's like being dead.
Yeah. So, of course, because I was drinking tequila all day and I was drinking tequila at Kahan's house. I was like, well, Horn's not home, so
yeah.
I'm going to keep the tequila train going.
Yeah.
So me and the dogs are hanging outside, which is fun. It's what I do. And I got to be honest, I don't remember going to bed, but I do remember this.
How'd you do that?
So you can't see it.
What is that? Who did that? Who did that to you?
So there it is on camera.
Is that a burn?
Dude, look at my calf on camera. My quads are a little, they look a little famished, but.
Is that a burn?
That is a burn. And so there was a huge.
That was your cigar.
That was my cigar.
I thought it was on your arm.
You know what I was doing in remembrance of Tim? I smoked Andalusian Bowl, which I do not do very often.
Yeah.
But you know they have those hot tips, the hot points. Mm-hmm. I mean, those cigars get really hot. It's very thick. It's tightly wrapped tobacco. And I was not sober at all. And here's the problem. Typically, if I ash on myself, my brain goes, ouch, there's something burning.
Yeah, doesn't take long.
And then I go, ah, fuck, before it burns. But my brain not functioning correctly because I think the alcohol had inhibited my brain being able to tell my leg that something was on it burning.
Nerve damage.
Now, let me tell you something. You want to know how I knew I was burning my hole in my leg?
You smell the hair.
I could smell it burning. Yeah. I could smell my hair and my skin. And I literally, I'm sitting on the couch in the back and I'm like, damn. I was like, what is that? My first instinct, I'm not kidding you. I was like, fuck, there's a skunk in the backyard. And I thought Carlisle was going to get sprayed. I looked down and I could see my skin sizzling.
Oh.
And I let out an audible yelp. I was like, ah!
So it had an ember in the ash.
It was an ember. It was hot orange. Ooh. Yeah. Dude, the blister on my leg the next day, I kept showing it to people. It was like that high off my skin.
Yeah.
It was probably a half an inch or more off my skin. It was just this pussy, fucking gross. Now, here's what's really disgusting. You know what's most disgusting about that? So the next day, I played 2 games of hockey with that little blood bubble on my skin. Never popped. It just kept, and I didn't want to pop it because I heard it's bad if you pop them.
Do you know what the blisters are for?
To heal?
No. Well, technically, blisters is like your body's airbag to protect the underlying layers of skin from being further damaged.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So it's to protect your bottom layers of skin. So
I got blisters on my fingers.
They're actually a good thing.
Yeah. That's why I didn't want to pop it.
Yeah.
So I heard you're not supposed to pop them. So I'm like, fuck. I was like, certainly they're going to pop while I'm playing hockey. So I had 2 of them because you see there's 2 marks. Like there's 2 individual burns. I was like, oh, they're for sure gonna pop when I play hockey. Well, they didn't. They stayed till the next day. Now, here's the mystery.
Oh boy, you don't remember when it emptied?
I don't remember when they popped, but I know they popped when I was at the gym.
Ooh.
So they're probably like on a piece of equipment or a machine.
For sure.
And I was like, oh fuck, like they were there when I went in, and when I left and got in my car, they were gone.
What were you doing, leg presses that day?
I was. So here's where I think it happened. There's a machine, and it's like a real fucking bitch machine.
Yeah.
But it works your hip flexors. Okay. And what you do is your legs are inside these 2 pads. I was in the ones where it's outside the pads. So it spreads, and then you press in. It spreads, and then you press in.
Working your kegels.
So that part of my leg was up against the pad on the machine, and I think my blister popped on the pad.
That's what it was.
Yeah. Pretty disgusting.
Yeah.
When I thought about it when I left, I was like, where would they have popped at? And then I was like, it had to have been that machine. Because it's the only machine where I had that's the only thing I did that I had contact with something there. Yeah. So it's like it had to have been that.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my nasty blister water is all over that. And then the thing is someone else's leg is coming in contact with the same part.
Yeah, if they didn't spray that down.
I didn't spray it down.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't a girl wearing leggings.
Dude, bro.
Nasty.
Your DNA is part of another person's shin.
Pretty gross. That's pretty gross. But anyway, yeah, that was the ending to that night. That was fun. It's pretty disgusting. All right, let's get into some cigar news. Want to go over a few things. Thing number one that I'm very excited about, Crown Heads begin shipping Las Calaveras 2022. Woo! So we'll see that hit stores. I love that beautiful light blue band on it. So always a great anticipation when Las Calaveras comes out. It's probably one of the most notable releases every year. So it will be hitting stores soon, which I'm mucho excited about. Now, this is interesting. So I saw the Half Wheel post an article today. I love it. Half Wheel does a lot of statistical stuff because I like reading through it. So PCA attendance rebounds from last year, but still remains low in comparison. So last year was kind of the first year. Obviously, they didn't have a 2020 because of COVID. So since 2019, which was the last, I would say, normal full year, attendance in terms of badge scans was just under that, but the presence of actual companies was 707 versus 771 in the previous year. Now, what's really interesting about these numbers, you look at it, badges scanned, 2,000 people. That's not a lot of people. It's so interesting to me because it's not a trade show that I've ever gone to, and I've expressed to people before I'll probably never go to it. I'm not going to say never, but it's just a challenging time for me to go. The trade shows that I have to go to for work, comparatively, the one that I went to that had the most attendance was like 37,000.
Yeah.
That's so much more people. 2,000 people is not a lot of people.
Okay. So
that's a very, very nominal amount of people, really, comparatively. But when I look at the numbers, it's cool to see it rebound. But certainly, I think from a representation in certain brands, you see some attrition. I'm wondering if it ever gets back to levels that it was, let's say, like booming in 2016. 2017 represented a fairly low year, but if you were to take averages of 16, 17, 18, and 19, attendance is, averaged out roughly, 2,100 people or so?
What's the growth curve? What's the growth on that? If you had 300 more from 2000, what is that?
What do you mean from 2000? 2000's not on here.
2000 to 2300.
Look at 2000.
I'm going to do the math.
Hold look on. At year 2016 is 2314, which is on this chart represented the highest amount of attendance and the highest amount of stores. So it's stores and it's badges. So you have a store and then you have how many people have badges from that store represent the number of people who are actually attending the show. So you could have, obviously you'll have companies that have two or three, four people at a time.
That's a 24% increase. I mean, that's pretty sizable because I'm trying to think relatively like...
I can't believe last year was only 1,400 people. So you have an additional 600 people that showed up this year over last year. That's a significant increase. So it's nice to see that there is the rebound. Like the trepidation around COVID obviously is diminished to a degree.
Yeah.
But I think all things considered, still seems like a pretty small show. I've never been to it, so it's like I don't know if that energy like the shows that I go to, dude, it's like insane. Yeah.
Showmanship.
It's
fucking to the
high
degree.
Energy. It's just fucking people but everywhere.
The cigar industry's never been that though. So I know. I feel like it's chill anyway.
I think it is chill, and of course you're in a convention center, which is made for, I would say, arguably where they're at. And I don't know if it's the Sands Convention Center this year. I forget where they housed it. But anyway, a lot of convention centers they make them universally sizable, meaning that like you have certain halls that could make for a more intimate setting for a smaller show. And then, of course, you have like where I did my show, there was the Las Vegas Convention Center. We occupied the North Hall and the West Hall, and both you couldn't see to the fucking end. It was like they went on forever. Mm-hmm. This is just a massive show in the industry I work in. So I guess that's some of the differences. But I was like, you wonder how the energy, how the flow was. I didn't really hear a whole lot from people as far as like, this was such a great show. This is the best PCA ever. Like I heard murmurings of like, yeah, it was very productive and it was great to show off new stuff. It was, you mostly hear it's great to be with people again or seeing the same familiar faces. But I don't know how meaningful it was necessarily. I would like to get a take from some of the participants, both on the attendee side and of course the manufacturer side, just to kind of see, okay, attendance was up over last year, obviously, but how was the vibe? I think the vibe of it is very important.
I know there was more women in attendance.
Yeah.
Seemingly.
I know. God, there's so many of those reels.
There was so many of them.
So many fucking reels.
It is interesting. It's like, so that was a 24% growth from 2006, or it was a 24% decline from 2016, which seems to be the highest number.
Yep.
Within the statistics currently, which I'm sure it's even bigger in like the 90s and
could
early
have been
2000s.
Yeah, different organization than could be. I don't know.
2,000 people. Do you think you can make your rounds through 2,000 people in a weekend? Probably, right?
Yeah, 2,000 is not
it's
a lot.
Not a lot. You could get through everybody.
That is not a lot of people.
You could get through everyone.
2,000 is a fairly insignificant number of people, and I'm not saying for the show. I just mean in general.
Yeah.
I could fit 2,000 people in my backyard.
Yeah, like, that's true.
You know what I mean? Like, I'd have a packed backyard, but I could fit 2,000 people.
It would look
like
one of those Japanese trains.
Yeah, where they're all stuffing in. Yeah, I like the last person who's jumping on the Japanese train when there's no room and somehow they like cardboard themselves.
Oh, yeah.
Inside the door shut right behind them and they're just like...
They're just like Tetris in like...
That's right. That's what it would be like in my backyard, but... I could conceivably fit 2,000 people in the back half of my easily.
Yeah, for sure.
It wouldn't even be that difficult.
Now, here's a statistic I want to know as someone who's become paranoid with being sick. Out of the 2,000.
How many got COVID?
How many got COVID?
There was a release article of PCA sent out a release in terms of people going back with COVID, which I was in Vegas not too long before that and did the same thing. It was like, dude, it seemed like half the people I work with got COVID.
Yeah, for sure.
I was one of the lucky ones. But most people, or I don't say most people, but a vast number of people that left the trade show that I was at, and of course it was very close proximity. Yeah. There was a lot of fucking people got COVID. And guess what? No one died. No reported deaths. Now, this, I think, is probably something similar. A lot of people, which you knew. There's no reason to write an article about it. It's fucking science. You knew it was going to happen. It's not like you were going to have 2,000 people occupying an enclosed space for 4 days and no one gets COVID.
Yeah.
It was going to happen. But from what I've seen, no one died from it.
Listen,
it's all good.
If I spent $500 Well, actually, $2,000 in totality, amenities and
I spent a lot of
badges, right?
A lot of money.
I'm going to that show whether I'm sick or not.
Yeah, yeah,
and
for sure.
And you know, there's someone going around there. It's like, oh, you don't look well. You know,
yeah, I'm going to battle through it. Just,
you know what it is? I think it's the air. I think it's my allergies. Yeah. There's something in Nevada.
It's dry here.
There's something in Nevada.
I have that dry cough.
But yeah, like I feel fine.
We're just like, oh.
I feel fine other than a scratchy throat and my nose is kind of running. Yeah. But I think it's the air quality.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
but, people with excuses. But you're fucking walking around with COVID. And,
yeah, they're clearly uncomfortable and you, running a temperature.
And you know how the scar community is. I know some of you probably want to say this is false, but it's totally true.
Smoke the Listen, COVID sent away.
Dude, when we know someone in the cigar community, we give no shits about sucking on their already used cigar.
Oh, dude. You know how many people were just mouth fucking each other's cigars?
Mouth fucking cigars.
I wonder if that was a taboo thing. And I also wonder if they had to put out some precautionary things as far as like, don't smoke other people's cigars.
Probably.
Because a lot of people go, hey, you need to try this cigar. And it's like,
It's like passing a joint, man.
You know what it's like? It's like the game Suck and Blow.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you're just like.
Yeah.
That was a fun game.
I
used to purposely drop it.
Dude, of all the women there, I want to taste your mouth on the cigar. You know what I'm saying?
Ugh.
All of you women, I want to taste your mouth.
Have you seen some of the women there?
I don't give a fuck.
Do you want to? Jesus Christ.
I want to taste your chewing gum and your lipstick. I want to taste it on the cigar wrapper. I want to taste you.
You want to taste cavities and root canals? Ugh. Gross.
I want to taste your mouth skunk. You know?
Oh, gross. That is putrid.
But you know people pass around cigars.
Yeah, they do. I'm sure, you know what? I bet the manufacturers probably had restrictions on doing some of that.
Probably.
Like, I don't want to see you guys passing around cigars and everybody fucking getting sick as a result. This is an interesting article. Blue Mountain Cigar. Dude, I'm telling you, it's like this whole tax thing. It's like people try to rip off the government. And listen, I said it last time. If there's an administration to do it, there's the one to do it. Blue Mountain Cigars. Now, I'm not going to get into so much detail on this. I've got a great summary about this. But Blue Mountain Cigar Company, which is an importer of cigars, is a company called Saboni Corporation. They import cigars from other countries in the United States. They owe nearly $115,000 in unpaid federal excise tax. Now, what's interesting about that, it's one thing to owe, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's a mistake, but you'll read in here that a discrepancy that was not the result of a clerical error or mistakes of fact. So they knew this was happening. And so here's what the company did. The company, Saboni Company, actually, they own Blue Mountain. So what happened was they were selling to themselves to negate the additional excise tax.
Ooh.
And covering up the numbers.
Ooh.
So essentially what happened is it said Blue Mountain Cigars is a fictitious name registered and fully owned by Saboni. So the company was selling the cigars to itself in an attempt to reduce its tax burden. And they owe still an additional $115,000. I don't understand what's going on, but people are really trying to fuck over the government and the cigar community. Like, listen, we've been covering cigar news for an extended period of time. And in the recent fucking 3 weeks, which there's been some shady shit that's happened. But I'm telling you right now, this is the first time I've seen back to back trying to fuck the government from a cigar perspective.
Who do you think's next that was like not assuming? Like, can we make some bets? Like, who's a brand?
Can we make bets on who's assuming?
Yeah.
Because I know.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say it because people get super pissed off and I don't want the fucking followers to come to my house and kill me.
Well, I know what you're talking about.
But
you think him?
But yeah, but it won't be tax fraud. It's going to be it's going to be like human trafficking.
Yeah, no shit.
It's going to be some real fucked up shit. So I don't know. I there's certain people that have, it's weird. It's like you can gain some intuition about certain folks that you meet, interact with, or you can just see what they do, how they represent themselves, even in person or on social media. And I think a lot of people are good at this, but some people are hyper-focused on certain things where they go, something's not right with that person. You know what I mean? There's certain people that I've earmarked in the community and I go, something not right about that person. And typically my intuition's correct. Like it's either a creepy person or there's some shady fucking shit that they're involved in. And you just go, something's not right about that.
Pour me some because I'm going to make a statement here that might get me in trouble.
No, don't, please. I don't want to have to edit anything out.
I have a brand in mind. You know, like the fake it till you make it types?
Oh, I know who you're going to say, but you can't say them.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
I think I know who you're talking about, but you can't say it.
Yachts. This perception of...
Oh, no. Okay, yeah, you can say that. Okay. I thought you meant someone else. I really thought there was another brand, and I literally going to be like, you cannot say
it. I know what
it.
One you're talking about.
I don't think you do.
But let's see if you know what I'm talking about. Listen, I'm going to make a prediction here.
Okay.
For 2023.
By the way, you know they sold one of those lighters?
Are you fucking serious? Yeah. Them, yes.
Yeah, I knew you were talking about.
Fucking A, really?
Yeah. Well, I think I sold two of them.
God damn.
They win. Dude, I was wrong. They won.
I want to do it.
They won.
Let's make a fucking lighter. listen. It's like the fake it till you make it types, you know, that they're not willing to admit that they're struggling. So they still put on this show like everything's fine. Yeah. Everything's cool.
Look at what we're doing over here.
We're still going great.
Yeah. It's like sparkles and glitter. And yeah.
Like they're still driving in the Maserati that hasn't had a payment on it for like 6 months.
Yeah. There's a warrant out for their arrest because they've been sent to creditors.
Yeah. Yeah, they go home to like a fucking apartment that they just moved into that has like, you can sign up for this apartment, no credit check.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm
talking
about?
And you can pay month of it's one of those month to month apartments. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Like, I'll just say, El Septimo, man.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe, I mean, I feel like they actually have their shit together. I just think they're just super, it's just a. To me, here's the thing. You know, we give them shit, but it's only because
they're succeeding. Fuck.
We give them shit, and it's only because we don't align with that type of thinking around cigars.
For sure.
But they're obviously doing something that is making sense for a subset community.
Yeah.
Like people who actually have a lot of money.
I just hope they have some morals.
Here's the thing, though. Yeah, I don't know. That is always in question with companies like that.
Because what if it was like Putin that bought the first
But dude, that guy could be a fucking total cool... He could be the coolest fucking dude. Like, what if tomorrow, hypothetically, the guy who owns that company, which is tough to listen to sometimes, what if he goes, Chris Gori? I don't even know if he has that accent, but I feel like rich people...
I love the take that he's probably Eastern European billionaire. Like,
Chris Gori.
Yeah.
I want to invite you to my yacht.
Yeah.
He's like, for a week, would you join me for a week on my yacht? All the amenities, the beautiful women, all the food, all the cigars you could ever want. Let's hang out. Let's talk. Let's become friends.
Candidly?
Would you do it?
Candidly? I have a weak backbone. I'd sell out in a heartbeat.
Dude, in a heartbeat, I would go. I wouldn't even think twice about it.
I was like,
you're my new favorite company.
Listen, El Septimo's the best brand in the world.
Listen, I will suffer through those... You got
swag.
Cigars.
You got swag. I'll wear swag for fucking the entire trip. Change my clothes.
Give me one of those table lighters. I'll smoke through your insufferable cigars. Yeah. We'll be best friends.
We'll be best fucking
I will
friends.
Sell out in a second.
Easy.
If he goes, all the beautiful women.
Oh.
He's like, Chris Curry, I get women from all over the world, have them shipped in. Don't care if it's legal or not.
Yeah.
I don't need to know. I'm not going to ask questions.
Yeah.
But if he says, we got all the beautiful women, you come onto the back of the boat, they give you the massages. You get all the massages and maybe a little extra.
Yeah.
And I go, I'm in.
Oh.
100%. I don't even think twice about it. I'm 100% in.
It's like, we want you.
We'll be best fucking friends.
Chris Curry, we want you to assassinate the president of Gurkha. I'd be like, fucking done. Done.
Dude, that's an open threat.
Done.
Listen, Chris and Corey, we have a problem. We have industry problem.
Yeah.
See, our main competition are these guys who sell a cigar for $1 million.
Kind of Czech, Russian.
I know. I don't know. I went from like Spanish to French to Russian to like some weird Eastern European. Yeah. Either way, what we're saying is we're in.
Yeah.
100% in. If it literally said you can come to my yacht, I'm like, dude, say no more. First of all, We're best friends.
Yeah, we're totally best.
I'm agree with you. I'll wear the swag.
Yep.
I'll fucking hype the shit out of your cigars.
Yeah.
We'll be best friends.
Yep.
You'll be a show sponsor. I won't even charge you. Fucking free.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just free. Just give me one of those table liners. All right. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break. That's all I had for cigars. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be at you guys in just a minute. Hang tight.
You know, I'm getting to the point now, my age, my health, the fact that, you know, I've gotten all this social anxiety that I don't even want to leave my house anymore. The thing is, like, I still want to smoke cigars at home, but I sure as shit do not want to leave my home.
Yeah, well, you're perpetually sick, so there's a societal responsibility that you have as well.
I just wish there was, like, some way for me to, like, buy cigars without having to think about it.
I think I have the medicine for you.
Mm.
My cigar pack. Curated packs come straight to your door every single month.
Is it?
5-pack of cigars, specially handpicked for you. And you can also subscribe to the Factory Direct program and get cigars that you can't get anywhere else.
Yeah, as long as it covers the Omnicom variant, I'm good.
I heard they show up in hazmat suits.
Yeah.
Just to make sure that safety and protection are at top of mind.
That's
so
good.
You can visit My Cigar Pack, www.mycigarpack.com to support all their options. Again, that's www.mycigarpack.com. All right, cool. We're back. Here we go. We have two reviews for you guys today. So this is something a little bit different. We've done two reviews before, but it's mostly like a smoke challenge thing. This time, what I wanted to do is just actually have two reviews. And part of it is like we haven't done reviews in forever. It's been a long fucking time.
Yeah, like the new release thing, that's kind of been our shtick.
Yeah. But there hasn't been like any great release. I mean, there's been some good releases. A lot of the stuff that's coming out is like new Vitola, limited. Like we're trying to get stuff that is attainable to the masses everywhere. But in this instance, what we decided we were going to do is we haven't reviewed in a while. So better to do two individually than one collectively. Yeah. We could just knock out two reviews in one and give you guys double the content.
And you're good about reviewing even like behind the show, like you'll put up on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
I try.
Those, by the way, are super fun to do.
I try to.
They're so fun.
But I'm like hit or miss. I'm like 50-50.
You know why they're fun? Is because your window is collapsed.
That's true.
You only have a minute. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I do the ones that are like 30 seconds. I'm like, oh, I'll see what I can put in there. And here's the thing. It's like, I'm not trying to get granular. The whole idea is not to get granular. The whole idea is just, it's almost like an emotional reaction and or expression,
yeah,
right? In the moment, not having to think through this whole process, but like, what am I thinking in the moment? Boom, I'm going to film it. And then I'm going to put it out.
Good candid response.
It's very candid. It's like, what's happening at this particular point in time is exactly what I express. Yeah. I don't go through like the entirety of the cigar and go first, third, second, third, and then final third. And here's blah, blah, blah. I'm like, here's what I'm fucking thinking right now. And I'm going to get what is in my brain either into 30 seconds or if I do it longer into a minute. Mm-hmm. And they're super fucking fun to do. I really actually like that better than I like doing shit that's like 15 minutes long.
I wonder if anybody
so fun
does that and they review the cigars, but they're like, yeah, I really enjoyed the last third of the cigar. It was just like creamy and it was like kind of mild and didn't give you this like heavy spice, but they're still like the halfway point.
Dude, I've had ones where I've literally only smoked a cigar for 20 minutes
and you're like, I'm
and then
already.
I've had ones where I'm at the fucking end.
Yeah,
it's just whatever I'm thinking in the moment that I want to talk about the cigar, yeah, as it is in that moment, that's, yeah, what I record. I mean, it is very like,
yeah,
off the cuff. But anyway, let's get into this. Okay. So Chris has reviewed an individual cigar today. I reviewed an individual cigar today. Dude, my cigar, you're literally going to go, what? Because we've never reviewed this cigar and you're going to be shocked by it.
Ooh.
Can you take a guess? Just guess.
And we've never
reviewed it. And it's shocking that we never have. And I've got a lot to talk about, so we do have to go kind of quick. Mm. I'll give you 5 seconds. 5, 4, 3. Two.
Aladino.
No.
Damn it.
I reviewed today the Crown Heads Las Marias.
Oh, okay.
Interesting review because I thought for sure we reviewed every single Crown Heads. I went back to the archives. We've never reviewed the Las Marias.
Did we ever do the Luminosa?
Never did the Luminosa. We also never did the J.D. Howard.
Who so does there's the others.
I mean, I'm going to smoke the J.D. Howard again. I like it. It's a Sumatran cigar. It's It's a great cigar. I'm pretty sure that's the Sumatra.
If I don't see John smoking it, I'm sure he's smoking it.
Yeah. So interestingly enough, okay. So I did the Crown Heads Las Marias. It's made at the My Father factory. Came to us back in 2015. It is a Nicaraguan Puro. The cigar is very interesting. And here's, I'm going to preface just in like giving a backstory on the cigar. So for an extended period of time, when I found out this cigar was no longer going to exist, I was very upset about it.
Yeah.
I also let John know I was upset about it. John's response to me was, motherfucker, they don't sell as much as other cigars, so we discontinued them. He goes, where were all the fucking the hype before and people weren't buying them? What's going on? Which is funny because fast forward until like 2 weeks ago, John sent me a text message. That text message included a petition. A literal government petition to bring the Las Marias back. And it had been signed by a lot of people.
I believe it. But enough.
I mean, here's the thing. You need a lot of signatures for a government petition.
Yeah.
But for sure, enough to be meaningful, I feel like. And I told John, I go, I fucking told you this cigar is fucking awesome and needs to make a comeback. He goes, where the fuck were all these people when I brought it out?
But dude, you know what its competition is now? And it's indisputable. The Juarez.
Not from a flavor perspective, though.
Well, that's true, I guess.
Here's the thing, and I'll articulate this. I promise you I'll say this very well. Because here's my thoughts about it. It's funny that there's a petition number one. I think that's hilarious.
That was pretty good.
And here's the thing. I feel like you're going to get my analogy when I say this. But before I say that, I feel like there is a tight-knit community of people are like, how is the Las Marias not a thing? It has this interesting cult following. Here's what I attribute to, or here's my analogy I'm going to make in terms of cinema. You ready for this?
Go for it.
When Silence of the Lambs came out, it was critically reviewed horribly. Audience reviewed horrible.
Sure.
When did Silence of the Lambs get its footing?
When it came out on VHS.
Years later.
Yeah.
Like literally it was a while later before it gained momentum.
Yeah.
And the cinema world.
Yeah.
And now it's like revered as one of the best movies ever created.
But how long has Las Marias been off the shelves? Now you can still find it in places. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, because we found it.
Yeah. But how long has it been out of
production? It was created in 2015, but out of production for like 2 years, maybe.
Okay.
So here's what I'm saying. Silence of the Lambs got its footing way after its initial release.
Yeah.
And here's my thought process on it. Silence of the Lambs was ahead of its time. Mm. I think the Las Marias is ahead of its time. And I think that's why you're now getting this resurgence. You're getting this feedback from the collective community saying, how is this no longer an option for me? And that's where I think it lives. I think it lives in this space where people are wanting it. And I think the dynamic of what people need in terms of cigars or what maybe they want in terms of flavor, I think it exists in the Las Marias. A lot of people don't know about the Las Marias. By the way, this came out in 2015. Crown Heads was a super fucking young company in 2015. So of course it didn't. You didn't have, if they put out the Las Marias today, guaranteed it'd be one of the most popular cigars. Hands fucking down.
You know what I see? I just see someone from the future just like teleports in from a distant future. Hello, Earthlings from 2022. I'm here to proclaim that the Las Marias must be brought back because in the year 3042, it is the gold standard for the best cigar in the world.
I can't wait till time traveling exists to where that actual scenario happens.
The Las Marias has stopped countless wars.
It is the ultimate unifier. Could be.
Cures all diseases.
COVID has been abolished via the Las Marias.
Yes. I implore you, bring it back for your children's children.
You know what's interesting? You sound like the guy from Galaxy Quest.
Yeah, it's true.
All right, let me get into the breakdown. So it is a Nicaraguan Puro made at the My Father factory. I smoked the Rothschild 4.5x48. There's other Vitolas, and I'll get into like some of the variants in the Vitolas, but I smoked this in the Rothschild 4.5x48. Comes in at an MSRP of $8.25. Now, let's get into the construction of the cigar. It's very light in color. It's more caramely in color. What I really liked about this cigar, which is kind of indicative that it may have kind of sat for a little bit of time, mm-hmm. is that it was very marbled. So you had some of those dark spots in it, which I love marbling in a cigar. Doesn't really do anything as far as like, you know, burn wise or any sort of structural integrity of the cigar. It's just cool in appearance. The cigar in itself, obviously, it's a smaller Vitola, but it's very light in the hands. It's not a dense cigar. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of it features like thin tobaccos, so it's not very heavy. It's not like a Connecticut broadleaf that's just like ultra firm, ultra thick. It's very, very light, thin wrapper type. Slight oil to it. Not anything that's like overly oily. It's not sticking to your fingers, but a little bit of the oil's just expression on the wrapper type itself. And structurally, absolutely flawless.
Because it's so old, it's like fossil fuels.
It's just excreting natural petroleum.
It's just like an old fucking dead dinosaur.
Could be. Burn. Dude, I actually took a picture of it because it's so good. Because there's often times where I talk about these cigars, I'm like, no one's going to believe me unless I take a picture.
Sure.
I take a picture. Dude, amazing burn line. Burn even, literally perfectly even all the way through. Superb draw. Effortless. Effortless. In terms of the burn. Mm. Absolutely wonderful. Great resistance on the draw. Full mouthfuls of smoke. Like, it was perfect. Actually, I had never smoked this Vitola in the Las Marias before. It's the first time I smoked this one. And it was incredible. It actually may be my new favorite Vitola. Just in terms of size. Because they had that Corona Vitola too.
Yeah.
And I think there's the Land... Is there the Lancero in the Las... I think there's a Lancero in the Las Marias.
I feel like...
I can't remember. And don't quote me on that. John will correct me for sure.
John gifted us an unbanded, I thought was Las Marias
Lancero.
It is,
and it was in the winter. And we literally both said it's Las Marias Lancero. And I don't know if it actually was.
I thought it was.
But it was an incredible cigar. But anyway, in a thinner Vitola I've had before, which I appreciated, but I really like the way this one smoked. Flavor wise, it's woody, it's nutty, it's sweet, it's creamy. Mm. The best part, especially on the retrohale, it's fucking buttery smooth. Mm. Dude, it's so good on the retrohale. I mean, literally like buttery smooth.
Nick Puro, right?
So good. Nicaraguan Puro. From my father, which I will say, this is the furthest removal from a typical of my father you'll ever get. Hands down, there is not. I don't care what they've made for Tatuai. I don't care what they've made for themselves. Even some of the lighter Connecticut shade cigars in my father. This is very, very different than anything that's come out of my father.
My father's kind of always had a little bit more stronger, bold, expressive spice profile.
Yes, of course.
Like always.
And that's not this.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, you didn't hear me say spice or pepper.
Nope, I didn't hear.
I said woody, nutty, buttery, sweet, creamy. Mm. Dude, very, very good. Like, for a Nicaraguan Puro, surprisingly good. All right, so I'll get into the pros and cons, and then I'll go back and reintroduce. Okay, here's my scoring for each. So pros, great looking cigar. Looks beautiful. Love the marbling. Construction-wise, was flawless. Near perfect burn. Mm-hmm. No challenges whatsoever. The burn line was amazing. I have photo evidence to say, and I will post it. Amazing balance of flavors. I like all those flavors. Those are the kind of flavors that I kind of gravitate towards. Mm-hmm. Like more of those smooth, sensory, like they're very palatable flavors. They're not one extreme or the other. Mm-hmm. The only con that I had to it, which is actually kind of indicative of what you get in some Cuban cigars, is the flavors crescendo. They get better as you go on. And the only reason I cite that as a con, which isn't really a con, it's just something to note, mm-hmm. is that if you're smoking the cigar, you may be a little bored at first. But once you give it some time and the flavors meld and they crescendo towards the end and they just get more expressive as you go on, mm-hmm. you'll appreciate the cigar more. So if in the beginning you find it to be a little boring, keep smoking the cigar because it really all starts to come together. And I know there's other, like Half Wheels have cited this, Dojo cited this, I think Kupix, they cited this as well. The cigar itself is quote unquote Cuban-esque, which I kind of hate that term. But it's kind of the only term that really matches a cigar. It really is. It does have that kind of like, and to me, if you get a Cuban-esque cigar, if you admire that type of flavor profile, mm-hmm. well, construction-wise, kills every fucking Cuban I've ever had.
Most of them, and did it
for $8.25. So let me get into the score. Here we go. Construction, 10 out of 10. Absolutely amazing. Burn, 20 out of 20. Absolutely fucking amazing. Flavors, really like the flavors overall. to me, super well balanced cigar. I gave you my pros, I gave you my cons. I gave it a 25 out of 30. I did say this was priced appropriately at $825. Kind of want to go back to the old school days. It is a smaller Vitola. It's a 4.5 by 48. It's a little bit smaller. It's not. It's shy of a Robusto. It's a Rothschild. That is very appropriate.
How long did you smoke it? 45?
Actually, it smoked. I can tell you exactly how long it smoked. It smoked for almost an hour. I bet I was 2 minutes shy of an hour.
You babied that.
I babied it. Yep. I was really enjoying it. Also, finger burner for sure. I mean, I smoked it down to where I was literally burning my fingers. So that gives me a total score of a 92.
Do you know what Lost Marias stands for? Lost fingers. Because they say it's such a finger burner that by the time you're done with it, you lose a finger.
Wouldn't it be like Los Dijotos?
I don't know.
I don't know what it is. I don't know what Spanish is for fingers. It's something digit. It starts with, it's a D-I something. D-I-G.
Fingeros.
I don't think that's what it is. Oh, okay. 92%. Great score. Highly recommended. Dude. Hell yeah. Bring the Los Marias back. Bring the Los Marias back. Dude, I'm signing that petition. Actually, I already signed it.
Did you?
Yeah, John sent it to me. I found it. Shit. Hell yeah, I'm going to be the fucking front runner on that bad boy. All right, Chris, let's get into your review.
So mine is kind of on the opposite side of the spectrum. You're dealing with a cult classic. I'm dealing with the prestigious. The prestigious.
Very dynamically different, huh?
Yeah.
Right.
I went with the Sin Compromiso Paladin de Saca from Dumbarton.
Jesus Christ. So here's the thing. I smoked a 4.5 by 48. The Sin Comps are massive.
I had a Churchill.
They're so fucking big. There isn't a small Sin Comp.
Nope.
They're all huge.
And I think I had the longest one.
I think you did have probably arguably the longest one.
Yeah. Yeah. Sin Compromiso, which I think stands for don't compromise. Or something like
don't
that.
Don't sinfully compromise.
Don't, yeah, something like that.
Right.
Which I think is clever.
Yeah.
It's a clever name.
I'm definitely off.
Don't ever compromise.
Yeah. But also, sometimes you have to compromise.
But sometimes you have to compromise.
I think people are like, don't compromise with the same people who like fucking fight with police.
You know who they didn't, you know what they didn't compromise on? The price. Because.
That's probably the reason for the name.
Like, hey, we're not changing. Listen, the price.
We're prefacing with the name.
It's we're not changing the price.
It's gonna be a fucking expensive cigar. All right, let's get into it.
So the breakdown of the cigar, it's a Mexican San Andreas wrapper. Love it. It's a tangy, you know, tangy wrapper. I love that type of shit. Yeah. Ecuadorian Habano binder and Nicaraguan and Pennsylvanian fillers.
Oh,
which
shit,
they
that's
have
rich.
Done a lot.
That's rich.
They like throwing that Pennsylvania.
I love a good Pennsylvania tobacco. It's very underrated.
It's very bright. It's very bitter too, but if it's done in moderation,
I feel like a Pennsylvania tobacco is like the skills that someone who is what do they call Muay Thai?
Yeah,
you know, because they kick so hard and they fucking kick goddamn bamboo trees and bamboo shoots. And they kick the fucking shit out of a palm tree and break it in half. I feel like Pennsylvania tobacco is the kick on a fucking coconut tree.
Listen, I think
it just hits you right in the face.
If you put
terrible analogy, I apologize.
If you put Pennsylvanian tobacco in a brawl fight with any other tobacco, I don't necessarily know if there's a lot of tobaccos that could take it out.
Yeah, it's kind of like Patrick Swayze in Roadhouse.
It's a very strong tobacco.
Yeah, it's good though.
It is good.
Anyway, continue.
But anyways, Nicaraguan and Pennsylvanian fillers. And I had it in the Churchill 7x50.
The fucking dong.
The DePaladin. You know? Yeah. And it comes in at a price point of pretty much $30. All right.
What are we, smoking a Mercedes here?
Yeah.
Who are we, El Septimo?
El Septimo. I'm waiting for that invitation. I only smoke expensive shit.
You know what's interesting is we talk about going on I don't know if it's El Septimo, Septimo. El Septimo sounds weird because like you said, septic tank is the only thing I can think of in my head. But Saka is a bass fisherman. Mm. I'd almost rather be on that boat. Because I'm a bass fisherman.
That'd be chill.
Dude, I bet Saka for sure would let us go fishing with him. Guarantee it.
Dude, I'll tell him my story.
I know for sure because he actually commented on a YouTube post and he goes, when the fuck am I coming on the show? And I was like, soon enough.
Oh, yeah.
But we've been doing the show every other week and we have shit lined up. So it's kind of like, and listen, obviously want to have him on. I fucking respect the hell out of him. But I'd almost be on that bass boat than a yacht.
It's like we left Steve at like the Greyhound bus terminal. We never picked him up. He's just standing there. We're like,
guys,
are they coming?
We will definitely get there for sure. And it'll be a wonderful conversation. Continue.
Yeah, but $30 fucking.
Damn. Listen, if there's anybody who could command a $30 price point for the cigars they make, Saka's one of the only guys that could do it and actually make it make sense.
Reputably, yeah. Yeah. Because he's very creative. Like the whole...
with tobacco specifically.
Yeah. What was the last ones we had with the stars on them?
Dude, the pipe tobacco, the Stillwell Stars.
The Stillwells.
Dude, here's the thing.
Cool set of...
There are people who are very polarized on that. I fucking love those cigars.
I thought it was a great...
Pipe tobacco. Yeah. I love interlacing those two worlds together. Kyle Gillis has done that with Warped, but the opposite.
Now,
he's taken cigar tobacco and put it in with the shredded pipe tobacco.
Yeah. Now, let me preface. Those are pretty spectrum, so I don't expect everyone to like every single one in that lineup.
I liked them.
But
I'm a huge pipe tobacco fan, so I get it. But
there were two of them in particular
that I was like... the Aromatics and the Navy. Like, those are all different pipe tobaccos that I've tried. Oh, Virginian tobaccos. Like, you have all kinds of crazy shit in there. It's fantastic.
Retrohale cigars, for sure.
So good. I really appreciate the fact what he did there. Anyway, continue.
So anyway, Steve does some cool shit. He tries some cool stuff, and I really admire it and appreciate it. But agreed. Obviously, when you do that stuff, sometimes it might come at a premium, like $30 goddamn. And that's okay. Well, all right, let's see what type of fucking science experiment you're doing here, Saka.
Right.
Anyways, let's get into construction. So it, you know, it kind of has this pigtail. It's a big ass fucking cigar, 7x50,
with a tiny little swirly do on it.
A little swirly do. Well, like Steve Saka's bun. Does he have a bun?
He's bald.
Well,
he's very bald. There's no bun.
Maybe he's bald with a bun.
There's no bun.
Maybe he's like that type.
I've seen the back of his head.
You know, like the beach
guy.
He's
very bunless.
Only wears like beach shirts.
Nope. Only has a hot dog.
Beach
no bun.
Button up. Does he wear beach button ups?
I don't think so. No, he does not.
You sure?
Yeah, he wears clearance stuff on the rack of Valmar. Anyway, continue.
He's starting to look like that guy off of.
He looks like a guy who would wear bowling shirts.
What's that show?
But he doesn't.
Where's that? He's starting to remind me of the guy from 98 Day Fiance.
The guy has no neck?
The,
yeah. Where it's just from his chin to his shoulders?
He's starting to remind me
of
that.
Did you see the meme of him where he's walking through the streets and he's sweating? Because the temperature is so hot in the U.S. right now. He's like walking and he's just sweating and it's like... The video meme is like just me taking a casual walk and he's sweating through everything and his fucking neck is just hitting his shoulder blades.
Yeah, he started looking like that guy. But listen,
he looks better than that guy. I'll give Saka credit. He does not look great.
Long cigar, pigtail, this dark chocolatey wrapper, kind of gritty, and that's because of that Mexican San Andreas wrapper.
Right.
And it has that Celtic vibe. When you look at the band,
right.
You feel like you're going on the Crusades.
Yeah, kind of. You look like it looks like it should be a flag.
Yeah.
On a ship.
Yeah.
Yeah. On a ship that's getting ready to take another country
like
over.
I picked it up, and I swear to you, in my head, I saw Sean Connery appear out of nowhere. It's like, Indy. And I look over, and all of a sudden,
wouldn't that be Nazi, though?
And then I'm Harrison Ford with a fucking... cowboy leather hat on.
Hey.
Going like...
Isn't that Nazi?
Yeah. That's like I'm in the fucking, like, Lost Crusade right now. Or Last Crusade.
What I could honestly think is I think that label could be flown as a flag on the Mayflower when it was coming to the United States.
Yeah.
Could have been a Mayflower logo.
Yeah, it could have been.
All right, continue.
I want to know where you got that logo. Anyways, construction is great, man. I've never really ever had a complaint about construction from a Saka Dumbarton and Trust cigar, but it looks cool as shit. I really like it. And it had kind of like that paper footed wrappy thingy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that is. What do you call that?
Mm-hmm. Tissue paper.
Yeah, whatever that thing is. Great construction. Burn. Great burn, man. 2-3 puffer, a lot of smoke production. Medium gray ash, light or kind of lighter gray ash, but it's, you know, like pretty decent even burn line. No issues there.
Smoked all the way through 7x50.
Yeah, no issues.
Damn, that's
no
awesome.
No issues. Flavors, most important part. Tangy, bittery, leather, kind of peppery. Right up my fucking alley.
Yeah, that's your jam.
That's my jam, dude. And it's like that pretty consistently. There's not a whole lot of change ups of flavor. But dude, It hits my spot. I loved it. I did like it. And it comes sometimes spicier than others. I couldn't really retrohale it.
It's heavy.
It's one of those ones where I was like...
It's very heavy.
Yeah.
It's kind of like retrohaling like a giant Cro-Magnon from Rummercraft. It's like, dude, you'll do it, but your sinuses are going to go off.
Your body's not going to like it.
You're going to start tearing up a little bit. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's a thick cigar to retro.
Yeah.
I mean, you can do it, but it'd be uncomfortable.
But the cool is that there was so much flavor expression just from even mouth sucking it. You know what I'm saying? Like when
that's what she said.
When you bring in a good mouthful of it, you know, when you're... And you got it in your mouth and you're sucking on it like a Hoover. Like, got a lot of flavor as is.
Right.
You don't have to shoot it out your nose. You know? Has a woman ever done that?
Of course they have.
Has a gay guy ever done it?
Of course. Yeah, of course. What do you mean?
What do they call it? Blowing your nose?
You've never... Here's, listen. You don't think, all right, this is going to sound whatever. It's a podcast. Get over it. You don't think anyone's ever cummed in someone's mouth and then told a joke and it come out the person's nose? Of course that's happened. Of course that's happened. All right. Don't think about it too much. I'm just saying that obviously that's probably occurred. It's just science. It just happened. Don't think about it. You're logistically thinking about how it's going to happen.
You've got this cum hanging on your nose.
It's like the snot bubble from the kid from Little Giants.
Just don't blow it out. But it's sticky like, and it's just stuck in there.
All right, continue. You've got 5 minutes.
Oh, fuck. But I love the flavors. It was very consistent flavor profile. There wasn't a whole lot of change-ups. But the flavors you get, there was a lot of expression and flavor. Just not really a retrohale cigar. But here's what I'll say. Price, dude. Price.
Yeah, $30. It's expensive.
$30, man.
Tough. It's a tough.
That's a tough one to swallow.
Tough to swallow. Yeah.
For a lot of women. Tough to swallow. or even if you're gay.
Right. We're inclusive.
We're very,
very inclusive.
Inclusive. Whatever pronouns you use, anybody can swallow. Yeah. Or not swallow.
Even if you don't think you have a throat biologically and you have gills like a fish.
Yeah.
You can still probably swallow.
I've heard some pronouns of unicorns. They don't swallow. or elves. I heard elves don't swallow either.
All right, continue. You have 4 minutes.
Pros and cons. Great bowl flavors as is, even with it being consistent. If you like that spicier, leathery, bitter, earthiness, God dang, it hits a spot, dude.
Yeah, she's a thick bitch.
And if you're watching a fucking Indiana Jones movie, it makes it even better.
There you go.
Personally, cons.
Yeah, I mean, of course. There's one major
$30.
Con. Yeah, there's one major
there's
con.
There's really no other con.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's just expensive.
It's just expensive.
Yeah. It's just a lot of money to pay for.
But anyways, 10 out of 10 on construction, 20 out of 20 on burn.
Which is great, by the way. Yeah. I do want to make note, in a cigar that's a 7x50, it's a very large. The more you produce in tobacco, the more shit can go wrong. So the fact that you have a 7x50 that has an immaculate construction, immaculate burn is enough in itself to give high remarks to. Continue.
Yeah. 25 out of 30 on flavor. It's a really great cigar.
That's a good score.
It is.
Yeah. I should actually guess your score. You said as a negative.
Yeah, for sure.
It's a 90. Hold on. 91.
Yeah, 90.7 rounded up. 91.
Look who the math genius is.
Dude, it's a great cigar, but it's like one of those cigars where it's kind of like
you hope that you can treat yourself someday.
Like you want to be in an audience of an El Septimo guy. Like that's the only time you want to smoke it.
Yeah, but also you want to be like, this cigar is $30 and it's better than your $30 cigar.
Yeah.
Hands down.
That's true.
Times 10.
That's true.
Yeah. Dude, the Syncomp is such a good cigar.
It's great. It's really good.
It's such a good cigar. That blend is fucking outrageously good. It really is. Like, probably one of Succa's best creations, for sure. When you think about overall value, the $30 price point, that's one thing, but really is such a good cigar.
It is.
Yeah. Two great cigars today.
Yeah.
Dude, a fucking Crown Heads Las Marias. I can't believe we've never reviewed. Insane to me that's never happened.
Yeah.
And then the Syncomp, which you've never reviewed. That's fucking beautiful. What a beautiful episode. All right, let's get out of here. Not like literally out of here, but like out of the show.
You won't get out of here?
Let's get out of here. We just start. I pull up a steering wheel. It's like All right. That will conclude episode 248. Thanks for hanging out with us today. Actually, really had a lot of fun on this episode.
That's a good one. A
lot of laughs. I'm glad we got a chance to do two reviews too. I think people will appreciate the fact that we can cover two in one episode as opposed to just talking for 30 yeah. minutes about one. I think it's very appropriate from yeah. even from a time frame perspective. So thanks for listening. We will not have an episode next week because I will be in the wonderful city of Baltimore. And by wonderful city, I mean like if you go one block left or one block right, mm-hmm. you're going to die. Yeah. But I will be in Baltimore next week. So we will not have an episode the following week. So we'll be back at you in 2 weeks with episode 249. Thanks hanging out for us, hanging out with us, not for us. You don't hang out for us. That's the wrong.
They can do it for us. Like they kind of feel obligated.
FUBU, for us, by us. thanks for hanging out with us. We'll be back at you in 2 weeks with episode 249. See you, everyone.
See you, elves.